Welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Hope it's been a good gaming week for you. You play much else this week, Alex, or just focus on Death Stranding?
Mainly on Death Stranding. Played another couple like 2 hours of Legend of Mana remastered on PS4, on PS5, but other than that, not much else. Kind of just focused a bit more on Death Stranding.
Yeah, I guess I put an hour or two into Persona 5 Royal just to advance a little bit there. And I played a couple hours of demos from Steam as they're going through a sale right now and decided to check some things out to see if I wanted to buy anything, but I'll hold off for now. Maybe in the future and with those games. Laika, which is a 2D side-scrolling motorcycle game. It feels kind of like Mad Max. Interesting concept. Pretty difficult. But yeah, and there's another one called Chants of Sennar, which is like a Tower of Babel language translation puzzle game, which is very highly praised, but mostly just focused on Death Stranding. Yeah, there's obviously multiple sales going on right now. There's a Steam sale and PlayStation Days of Play. Is there anything you're planning on adding to your backlog, Alex?
Yeah, there's probably a couple games. I haven't looked through the Steam sale, so I could add more. But for the PlayStation Days of Play, I did look through it. I'm probably going to buy Outer Wilds along with the
Yes.
Outer Wilds DLC because buying them separately is cheaper than buying the combined package since the combined one's
Don't you
not on
love it how
sale.
they do that?
Yeah. So I'll buy those. I'm also going to buy the Metro Exodus Metro bundle of the three Metro games because I saw it was on sale for like $11 for
Nice.
the
I've
three
always heard those
games.
are good.
Yeah, and for the third one, you get the, I think it was the gold edition, so you get all the DLC and everything that came through it. So I thought I had them, but I don't. I will, yeah, that's probably one, as I said, I think it's like $11, $12 that I will be
Solid
picking
purchase.
up here. Yeah. Other
The
than that,
only
yeah, that's those ones are the main ones.
One that I've looked at is Armored Core 6, as a fan and also someone who watched Gundam Wing way back in the early 2000s. Something about that mech type combat, it might scratch an itch at some point, so we'll see about that.
Games, my favorite mech games back in the day were the Mech Warrior games. And I really haven't played
I
much other mech games
did
other than those.
play Mech Warrior 2 a little bit and Mech Warrior 4 on the original Xbox, which was a good time. I don't think I've actually played an Armored Core game. I might have watched someone play it, but I'm definitely curious. And the secret level episode about Armored Core was pretty interesting. Keanu Reeves was in it, of all things. Obviously, that's a short and not attached to the story of the game, but looks fun. Well, this will be a shorter episode than I expected. There were only two delivery orders in this section, so I assume the remaining ones will be significantly longer if the game really is quite as long as we've read about. And they're called episodes, not chapters, so we'll move forward with that. But what are your first thoughts? I think my first thought is I know we heard about Walking Simulator, but it seems more like a balance simulator, more like you're hiking while carrying something on your back.
That's literally my first point under prologue is
Yeah.
keeping balance, because that seems to be the trend of however much, like, obviously the more you pick up, the heavier your cargo gets, the more that you lose your balance. And it was a lot of R2, L2, keeping my balance, pressing them both together to stay balanced or to stop myself if I was running and everything. So yeah, that was.
Definitely seems like a matter of pick your battles between running and walking. Obviously, you want to get somewhere faster, but I think part of this is like the meditative experience of just trudging through and walking and keeping your balance.
I'm just definitely trying to find more just flat paths of stuff instead of going over hills.
Flat paths are useful. I think they're probably going to funnel you into having not having that as an option at some point, though, so take advantage while you can.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure they will.
The early introduction of eating bugs to keep the time fall away was kind of unusual too, and they were floating larva type things. Not the most appealing, but I guess that's what you got to do in this world.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was walking around and I'd see their nest, I'd just grab them. But I noticed I'd grab them, but then I was like, I don't know where they go in my inventory, and I need to figure that out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure what I saw was that if you've taken any damage at all, it just instantly heals you, however much it can. And then once you're fully healed, I think you can actually pick them up and store them. Okay. I didn't double check that, but I think the prompt when you hit, I think it's the square button, ends up switching from eat to pick up or store or something like that. So I guess you just need to farm and scavenge all of the bugs that you can get as you walk along and hike outside.
Yeah, so I've stored a few, so I'll have to find where I've stored them, which I'll look at more here once I start up episode 2 of the game. Also, I did notice that from the prologue and chapter 1 that, and why I was trying to stay more on flat ground, is if you fell, your cargo is damaged, and it actually docks you a little bit.
Like it docks you in the scoring thing at the rating of each sort of delivery, right? Yeah, I saw that too, and you know, the tutorial prompt popped up saying, like, it'll change from color and flash red or whatever. And I don't know how much, like, I don't think I've reached the point where the delivery is broken and undeliverable. But it was definitely, like, I'd see the red flash and then I'd realize, oh, it wasn't actually that damaged. It seems to be okay. You don't want to avoid falling.
Yeah, I only fell, like, once.
Yeah, I did have some trouble, like, when I was... had not too many packages, so I was able to sprint without falling, but then I was like trying to grab a rope at the end of a path to go down a short cliff, and the reaction of the stick, or I don't know how you actually stop yourself from running yet, because I hit X, I don't think it registered, and I fell off the cliff and damaged the package.
I've seen, so I think to stop, I think it's L2 R2. I think it prompts with, I think, L2 or R2 at some point. It will say stop and like, press your main both.
Balance thing.
Yeah, and, okay. And it will literally heal to like kind of just
go from a straight
dig
sprint
his heels
into
in
a
and
slow
try
down.
And stop. Yeah. Yeah.
Good to
I
know.
I had a couple times because I almost had a time too where I was slightly sprinting and then almost went off a cliff and I was able to stop just because he was starting to stumble and I was like, please stop.
Wow.
Before you fall off.
Yeah, I definitely fell multiple times coming out of a quick run. Always a good time falling over when you're running, you know? It's like you're learning how to walk all over again.
Yeah, but for the prologue mainly, I mean, there wasn't too much in just the prologue. We had that where you'd pick up the package and then right at the start, kind of, there's quite a big cutscene where Lea Seydoux was, who is introduced as a character called Fragile.
They definitely introduced... And I think that was an interesting thing. She seems to have some sort of teleport ability because you almost run her over on the motorcycle and then your motorcycle flies off the cliff and then she ends up popping up to save you in the cave. And they're definitely setting this up as a strong horror type vibes whenever the BTs are around. Number one, they're invisible. You just see their palm prints. Absolutely kind of some frightening stuff going on there.
Yeah, that was another point of mine was BTs question, because obviously they haven't said what... I don't know if they're just called BTs or if BTs,
like, what does that stand for?
Their initials, what does it stand for?
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll find out later on in the game.
I think I...
But yes, they were quite terrifying with the palm prints.
Yeah.
Holding your breath and everything. Yeah.
The other curious thing too is the ones that have shown up in the cutscenes so far have all been like those, they have large footprint and then the footprint's nails extend the second it palm hits the ground. But then all of the kind of the invisible floating, you know, they say they're BTs, forms that are in the sky occasionally are more human shaped. So they don't really have that monstrous type form. So I'm curious, is there an evolutionary phase through early BT to late BT stages and what's going on there? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
It's also interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think hopefully, I'm sure we will. We'll find out later on in the story. It's just kind of keeping us... intrigued
in the dark.
And in the dark and intrigued on what all this is and how it came about.
There will more than likely be a lore dump at some point, so I fully expect that, and we'll come back to this conversation knowing a whole lot more. It's also interesting that whenever someone dies they need to burn them as soon as possible.
Yes, that was so to get back for the prologue, it was a pretty shorter chapter. I just ended up like kind of walking around and scanning with the scanner and picked up like, I don't know, probably about 4 or 5 other packages before walking back to the town, to the city, and then basically ending the prologue there. And then
I think I only stopped off for one, but I didn't run into anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty short prologue, but it just gave a little bit of an introduction to the character and everything. And it was fun. It kind of just gets you used to the controls, which was good.
Yeah, the whole, yeah, I think especially the scene when you're working with corpse disposal was, you know, it switched to first person and you would just watch all this stuff happen and the guy gets floated up into the air and the other guy that's trapped under the vehicle gets rained on and ends up having his face basically melted into old age, kind of really unusual stuff. But, you know, and then it moves on from there. And when, once you're in episode one, it brings you through and you meet your mother, who's the president. And
yeah, she's the last president of, I guess, what would be considered the United States of America, by the sounds of it.
United Cities of America, it seems like, in here.
Yeah, well, she's the last, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's a curiosity. Like, but, you know, he's carrying his mother, who he clearly had a falling out with after she dies, and got to go burn her in the incinerator, kind of a odd choice. But I guess there's people with dooms, which is another acronym we don't understand. Obviously, it's that ability to either see or sense the BTs. It comes in handy. So, but definitely yeah. That. Yeah.
You're right. Or I think he definitely had a fallout with his mom because listening to it and listening like closely to the conversation where he kept saying like, oh, that's not my name or what. I think when his name is actually Sam Porter Bridges, I think it's Sam Bridges Porter. I'm not sure which way it is, but I think his name is saying is my name's Sam. But his job is, like, he works for Bridges, and he's a porter, and yes. That he's just used it as his name.
That's definitely what I've gathered and was going to mention, too. There's something going on with the names of the characters. Yeah, Sam Porter Bridges. Porter is the package delivery profession, it seems like. Bridges is the name of the organization that we don't know much about yet, but we just know it's his employer. Also, that the fact that rebuilding is the reason that rebuilding, I guess, the United Cities is the reason that Bridges exists in the first place. The other name thing that I caught on to is his mom is President Strand. So there's Death Stranding. It's Kojima's called it a Strand game. Also, at some point in that scene, really quickly, they show there's some writing on that photo that Sam carries around that says, be stranded in love. So my guess is this Amelie person is either his some significant other or sister or something like that. It was a photo of the three of them. But his name is Sam Porter Bridges. Her name is President Strand. There's clearly some weird naming things happening. I'm sure we'll learn more about that too.
Yeah, I definitely, as you said, he tends to do a lore dump. So I'm sure we will learn more about that here in the next coming episodes. Another thing I noticed, yeah, as you said, from chapter one, from dropping off the body of the incinerator, is they mentioned something on if you void out, if you die, but yet it'll incur another, I think incurring a stranding where basically it's a giant explosion of the area.
Yes, just like in that cutscene with the original corpse disposal team, it sounds like whenever whatever it is that happens, that yeah, it creates the explosion in the crater and destroys everything. But Sam, he said, what was the reintegrating or something where, or repatriate, I think is what the terminology was by Guillermo del Toro's character, Dead Man. Was yeah, then, yeah. That's basically just a way to explain how he can respawn in, you know, in-game terminology. And for sure, so he would survive, but whatever the area was would explode. So they want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, I was a little afraid I was going to die after. So after dropping off your mom at the incinerator, obviously all those BTs come out and the baby starts going like ballistic. Mm-hmm. I had to turn down, because I was playing a little later at night, I had to turn down my controller microphone, the volume coming out of that, because it was quite a loud cry.
I turned that down. I was playing on headphones, so I was also turning the volume down and not have that crying in the ear.
But it was going nuts, and I was trying, like, I was crouched, and I was holding my breath as much as I could, and I was, like, holding your breath takes up stamina.
Yep.
So you can't do it forever. And so I was like trying to go around them, but it was not the easiest.
Yeah, and it seemed like I think that the first time I was doing the hole in the breath thing, I was seeing how long it can take. Because it says once you run out, you pass out. And also that at some point, if you get too low, you end up having a big kind of gasp for air. And so I did have a gasp for air. And I think it looks like at least at the beginning in this current episode one, I don't know if it grows, but the stamina bar for the holding breath is only four squares, and once you get to that fourth one, I think is when you start the gasping. So release the hold breath once you're getting close to that. It's freaky. Which route did you take to the incinerator from the city?
To the incinerator. I went, which way did I go? Oh, I went So if you're coming from the city, I went to the far left. So I took the waterfall.
The river waterfall route?
Yeah, the river waterfall route.
Yeah.
That was one I
took. Yeah, I was thinking, okay, you know, I know this game has a lot of hiking and walking around. I might as well get used to the controls as fast as I can. So I took the river route and then went on to the mountain route, expecting this like major intense climb. And then the guy that Igor, I think his name was, that died in that previous corpse disposal scene, had left a number of ladders and ropes and things there. So the mountain route wasn't so bad on the way there. And then, yeah, like after watching some of the scenes, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to go all out against some BTs right now. So I took the easiest route back that kind of just skirted around them and went down that river waterfall route to get home.
Was that on the way back? Yeah, on the way back. So if you're looking back at the city, I took the, it would be to your left.
Okay, that was the one that went through all the BTs.
I went all the way left. And I will say, at one point for the BTs, like I was holding my breath and crouching, and I had to let go of my breath, and they heard me for a sec. And then you can see all the handprints come down, or their paw prints, whatever, down. And it came down next to me, and I slightly moved to try and get away, and then it touched me, and I was like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden, like all this, like what I'm not sure what it, like black goo, like comes around my feet and everything. And I'm trying to like sprint out of it. And there's corpses or whatever. There's people like trying to grab you from there. Luckily, it wasn't massively big. I didn't have too far to go, and I was able to get out. I took a little bit of damage, but not too much. But I was able to get out of it. And then I kind of sprinted away. And then a couple more BT show, and I had to hold my breath and crouch again. And then a little further after that, once I got through those, it was just clear sailing back. But I did get touched by one.
Oh, damn. Okay, you had an exciting experience then. Yeah, I went the easy way.
Yeah. So, yes, if you get touched there, yeah, this, like, black goo. I'm sure we'll know more of the terminology later, but it, like, comes up all around you. And there's, like, people, as if it's, like, the underworld, like, grabbing out at your feet, trying to pull you down, pull you in.
Wonderful.
Kind of like we saw in the cutscene for the body disposal guy.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, so, but I was able to run out of that. You kind of have to trudge out of that, and then I just ran after that.
Well, hot tip, and I think I saw it as like one of those tutorial pop-ups, was if you open your map when you know BTs are around, it provides you with like a couple of suggested options, and it tells you how, like, it actually has like a difficulty level attached to it. And also, like, I think there's a difficulty for the hiking part, and there's a difficulty for how many BTs there are. And so it gives you a number of options to get back and says, like, okay, you're going to be, so you can really plot out that map to get, if you want the crazy experience, you can take it. And if you want to, in that particular moment, or you ran out of bugs to eat and heal up, or you're just worried about it, then you can go the easy way. Something to try out in case you didn't before. Yeah.
I will check that next time. Yeah, with the map, and yeah, I'll check that all out next time, because I think, obviously, I'm sure, I think later on, I'm not sure, I think you do maybe get like a gun or, well, some type of weapon, I believe, later
on.
I
assume so.
And then obviously upgrading your character. Yeah, upgrading your character a little more, and then maybe I'll feel a little bit better on,
I'm sure, encounters. That's coming soon. It seems like we're still in tutorial mode for the most part, with a little bit of lore exposure. And yeah, I mean, it seems like, so I'm curious about Bridges. It seems like as an organization, apparently it depends on the president being alive. They keep repeating that. But so does, you know, America as a country. But the president's dead. You know, are they going to use like a ghost president, or are they going to pull someone else in? They keep talking about your mom as the last one. Like, I have no idea where that's going. Maybe this Amelie person is going to be the new president. That's my guess so far. But
yeah, that's what I would guess too. But we'll see where that goes.
The other thing that I kind of gathered from playing through this first couple hours was that I found the music to be pretty calming. You know, the idea of pulling the camera far up or far back from where you are when you get out of the cities into the wild area, are kind of methodically, meditatively hiking while they pipe in music with vocals, really seems to echo those film aspirations that Kojima has. In most other games, that type of moment would be highlighted by ambient music or just nature sounds. And here they're, okay, we're putting a mood on and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, that was a point I had. Actually, it was nice. I enjoyed that. Just, yeah, the original, just start of your walk coming out with the music. I thought it was great taste in music to put out there is definitely more relaxing. I was like, oh, okay, I can do this.
Nothing scary out here. It seemed to fit. Yeah, it calms you down before you get thrust into something more intense. So I'm sure, though, it sounds like there's like two or three bands that are involved in this game. So I think they're going to keep putting out new songs as you go through, along with whatever ambient sound they do have.
Yes, yeah. So far, enjoying the soundtrack. I enjoyed those two songs. I think it was like just mainly two songs. So,
and visually, it's amazing. I think that the rain itself looks great. I think the visuals overall are awesome. We mentioned the Decima engine last time, and I think they're doing a good job of pulling what they want to out of the engine.
Yes, I agree. It looks incredible. That was one thing I like when they do start playing the music. And it pulls out, like, just seeing everything. I was like, this looks so nice. It looks like they've done a really good job.
You get a true sense of each of those little rocks that you need to step over without tripping. So,
yes, you do.
Imagine playing this game on a PS1.
Oh, God, that would... No. This will just be like...
Watch out. Next they're going to release the D-Make.
It would... Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, on my end, I'm very intrigued. I'll say I'm curious to keep going. I'd actually say it's been tough holding off on continuing to play until now, so we're able to jump back and get to episode 2 today. But it's something that I've been pulling myself into other things or other games to occupy the time because I want to get back into Death Stranding ASAP.
Yeah, same. I've been wanting to get back into it too because I am very intrigued by the story and where it's going to go and everything. So yeah, I'll probably start playing episode 2 here today because I think episode 2 is definitely longer than the prologue and episode 1 combined. So
right, and I found a spoiler-free list of orders, delivery orders per episode. And it looks like episode 2 has 7 required story advancing orders, and the rest are side quests. So depending on how much time you have, feel free to knock out side quests as you see fit. But judging by the few hours it took for episode 1 or prologue in episode 1, I would budget a bit longer this week than you did last week. It took me less than 2 hours to get through the prologue and then the 2 orders of episode 1. I'm probably going to put in 3 to 5, but who knows? I might need more than that. I guess we'll judge as we go along.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think you're right. I think I'm at about 2 hours or less between the prologue and episode 1. I think episode 2 itself is going to be, as you said, about 3 to 5 hours probably of gameplay with the orders.
So we'll join back once everyone hits the beginning of episode 3.
Yeah, so everybody, please enjoy episode 2 of Death Stranding and play along with us, and we'll be back in a week to discuss everything that took place in that episode in detail. And again, thanks for joining us for this week's episode of the Gaming Backlog Book Club. If you want to follow along with our playthrough of Death Stranding, please don't forget to subscribe to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. Thanks.